The Green Zone, Baghdad, Iraq. It was just a matter of waiting. Juba was good at waiting. Patience was an important tool for him, as it is for all snipers. The Iraqi desert sun baked and parched him, but his soul remained calm, soothed by the instructions of his two fathers and the sure knowledge that the hunt was on. Once again, he was the sword of the prophet. "God is great," he whispered, feeling guilty for breaking his oath and speaking the words of praise. He had been in the hole for 3 days, shaded only by a few bushes during the hottest part of the blistering afternoons. He let his face and neck become sunburned and measured his rations carefully, eating and drinking only enough to survive. The last chocolates from his field rations had been eaten, and he had intentionally drained the last water from his canteens the previous day. He was hungry, and thirst clawed at his throat. Good. Throughout the time in the hide, he had heard sporadic traffic passing unseen only 50 meters away and the occasional boom of an explosion somewhere down the track. Each morning, an American patrol rolled past, clouds of dust following the big vehicles. He could have gotten help any time he wanted it. Didn't want it. On the fourth morning, the sun was up and the temperature was climbing when he saw the faraway dust clouds kicked up by the oncoming patrol. No wonder they were so easy to ambush. He crawled from the hide, brushed away the signs of his stay by brooming the area with a bush, and staggered to the road. The vehicles now could be seen with the naked eye, which meant they could see him, too, a wobbling soldier alone in the desert. He held up his hands as if in surrender to the first Bradley fighting vehicle that approached, with its 50-caliber machine gun trained on him. Then he collapsed. A lieutenant of the U.S. 1st Cavalry Division instantly recognized the disruptive pattern camouflage uniform and weathered beret worn by the British soldier and jumped down to help. They pulled him into the shade of the big vehicle. Sweat caked the dusty face and dirt clung to the filthy uniform, and when they started pouring some water into his mouth, he greedily grabbed for the canteen. The American pulled it back. "Easy, pal. Just a little bit at a time, you're gonna be okay." He offered another sip. A medic smoothed a wet salve on the sunburned face, neck, and hands. Juba slowly responded in a British accent, haltingly explaining that his sniper team had been discovered a week ago and his spotter killed in the ensuing fight. The Englishman had evaded the searching insurgents, found this road before dawn today, and walked next to it since then, hoping that a friendly force would spot him before the insurgents did. The Americans were unaware that his uniform and the rifle hanging from his shoulder had been stripped from a British soldier he had killed outside of Basra. Juba was able to stand unaided by the time a helicopter arrived, and he thanked the American soldiers and climbed into the bird. Within 30 minutes, it delivered him to the landing pad of a military hospital inside the Green Zone of Baghdad. A stretcher team met him, but he waved them off, and they led him into a cool corridor, then into a big room where other soldiers lay on cots. A nurse helped him remove his tunic and stuck a needle into his arm to start a slow drip of hydrating fluids. He had been outside in the heat for so long that the fresh liquid going directly into his veins, plus the air conditioning, caused a deep and instant chill, and he began to shake as if he were freezing. The nurse recognized the reaction as normal and wrapped a blanket around his shoulders as a doctor came over to check him. Exhaustion, sunburn, and dehydration, but no wounds. Juba lay back on the cot, enjoying the brief rest and the air conditioning. As the IV drip was finishing, a courteous U.S. intelligence captain came to his cot, having already notified British commanders that their man had been rescued. "They thought you were dead," said the captain, settling into a chair. He thought the guy looked like hell. "So what happened out there, Sergeant?" The officer took a few notes as Juba repeated his tale of a mission gone wrong. "Sorry about your buddy," the American said and put away the notebook. "Bad shit." "Part of the job, mate." Juba sighed and leaned back on the green sheet of the metal-framed cot. "Your instructions are to rest up and then return to your unit as soon as medically fit," said the captain. The busy doctor in uniform came by just long enough to look him over for a final time and remove the needle. I've signed your discharge slip, Sergeant. You're going to be fine, except for a few aches and pains and that sunburn. Drink a lot of water and have some chow. Here's some ointment for the burn, and if you need more, just come by the pharmacy. You want something to help you sleep tonight? No, sir. I've dealt with worse than this. Okay, then. You're free to leave. Good luck. The intel officer was still there. Come on with me, soldier, and I'll take you over to the mess hall, then give you a chit for a bed tonight in the guest quarters. Juba pushed himself from the cot, acting wobbly, then drew himself erect and stretched, turning side to side. The body was lean and muscular. He put on his tunic. Thank you, sir, but I plan something a little more upscale. I'm going to get a hotel room, raid the minibar, take a long shower, get some decent food, and then sleep for 2 days. I hear you, said the officer. I got everything I need. Stay safe. He waved Juba through the door. The sniper ducked into a bathroom, locked himself into a stall, dropped his trousers to retrieve some documents from a plastic bag that had been tucked just above his right boot, and put them in his shirt pocket. He came out, signed for his rifle at the makeshift armory, and left the hospital. Back on the hunt, closer than before.